rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. Here's Tom Hartman.
Greetings from Washington, D.C., and I am not Tom Hartman. Tom Hartman is off today and tomorrow. He is promoting his brand new book called Screwed, and I just talked to him a moment ago. He's in New York City today, and he will be back with you on Monday. I'm Peter B. Collins. I normally originate from San Francisco, and I'm delighted to sit in for Tom again today. And I'm in Washington, D.C. today and tomorrow to bring you exclusive coverage of Camp Democracy. We are in day three of Camp Democracy on the Mall at Constitution Avenue between 14th and 15th Avenues, just under the Washington Monument. As a crow flies, a football field or two from the White House. And people are gathering. More and more people show up every day. And we are issuing a call to progressives all across America to come to Washington and lend your voice and your face to Camp Democracy. The idea here is that our democracy is, well, it's under attack, it's under rollbacks, and we need to fight to preserve what we have and expand it to the extent possible. During today's program, you're going to hear a series of guests, some elected leaders from the progressive side of things, some of the folks who have already coalesced around the issues that have formed Camp Democracy here in Washington, and we're going to be taking your phone calls in between. I do ask you to indulge us because I don't know exactly what's going to happen over the next 3 hours. It's going to be interesting, exciting, and we'll make it all work. As you know, you can call the Tom Hartman program, 866-440-THOM. That's 866-440-8466. I invite you to get on the line, and in between our guests, we'll be taking your phone calls. And I'd like you to focus on two aspects. What do you think has been the greatest loss to our democracy over the last 5 years? And what do you think the most significant fight is that we need to undertake to preserve what we have and win back what we had? And we have so many fronts. I think that there are many people who are kind of reeling. We have our privacy, our personal security, the NSA wiretapping, and illegal operations of our government. Yesterday, once again, the President of the United States admitted to a series of illegalities, brought us more information about the murky, secret CIA prison system. Didn't give us total details, but we now know that there are no individuals in custody there, and they've been transferred to Guantanamo Bay. That's the prison camp the president said as recently as June that he would like to close. And he has sent legislation, proposed legislation, to Capitol Hill to essentially legalize the extra legal activities that have taken place so far. And it's stunningly breathtaking the way the president, on the one hand, asserts we don't torture, and then says that for the first time, these detainees are going to be covered by Section 3 of the Geneva Conventions. We didn't previously extend those rights and privileges to the so-called enemy combatants detained at Guantanamo and elsewhere around the world. So this is interesting, and at the same time, that the president wants us to believe that he's complying with the Supreme Court ruling in Hamdan versus Rumsfeld, he's got his fingers crossed, saying that he wants to maintain the CIA prisons and the robust or unorthodox interrogation methods that have been used. And many civil rights attorneys believe that the reason why we haven't seen people like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, the purported mastermind of 9/11, tried in American courts or commissions or courts martials, is because he's been tortured. And the president just about admitted that yesterday. Yet he cloaks it all in the fear-mongering and this idea that anything he does is okay because it makes Americans safer. Those are some of the issues I'll be discussing with guests along the way on the program today, and you're welcome to call and talk with us about them. Again, our toll-free number is 866-440-TOM, 866-440-8466. I'm Peter B. Collins here in Washington, D.C., and joining me in the studio here at the Center for American Progress is Tim Carpenter from Progressive Democrats of America. Tim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program today.
Hi, Peter. Thank you for the opportunity.
Tell us about Camp Democracy. It's growing every day in the shadow of the Washington Monument.
Well, Camp Democracy is an outgrowth of the efforts that Cindy began, as many of our listeners probably know, down at Camp Casey.
And let's say Cindy Sheehan.
Cindy Sheehan.
Most people know her on a first name basis.
Yes. Cindy Sheehan's efforts down, many of us remember when she sat in a ditch a couple years ago to challenge the president in regards to the war in Iraq. And following the camp this year, rather than to go back to our communities, we've asked everybody to come up from Camp Casey and also to come from across the country to join us here in D.C. as Congress reconvenes. It's a new day in Washington. Things are definitely, as you said, very fluid and changing out here on the Hill. And we're encouraging activists from all around the country to come together, not just for one-day protest, not for just one day of street heat, but to really come together and talk collectively on how we can build our progressive movement, to devote each day specifically to issues that will make us stronger, to learn those skills so that we can go back and be even more effective as we get closer to the election season to hold our elected officials accountable.
And as I mentioned, it's kind of a dizzying array of challenges that we face, because on the one hand, people are still dealing with the incomplete in Afghanistan. We have this bizarre meeting yesterday between Pervez Musharraf, who's supposed to be our ally, the leader of Pakistan, and Hamid Karzai, our handpicked new guy in the so-called democratic Afghanistan. And what they announced is a deal that permits the Taliban to basically have a peace treaty. And Musharraf announced that he's pulling Pakistani forces out of South Waziristan, where they were putting pressure on the Taliban and where Osama bin Laden is, you know, assumed to be hiding. And this is just, you know, one aspect of it. We have, of course, the deep problems in Iraq, and we have the looming specter of new military action against Iran. And I think this is a very pivotal point. It's not just about the November elections. All those are crucial. They are crucial in sending the message that George W. Bush is on the wrong track. But at the same time that these things are going on, Tim, we have an amazing noise machine that the Republicans use, and it's working for them. The Nazi comparisons, while you and I can reject them and joke about being appeasers, we know that a lot of people in Middle America lap that up without asking the right questions, without being skeptical enough. And the moves that they are making give the president some advantages in setting the agenda and throwing the Democrats off base. So I believe this is a really crucial time. This is not just about trying to rehash what got us into Afghanistan and Iraq, but trying to show the American people that this administration is way off base and leading us further down the wrong road.
And we can only hope now with Congress coming back that Congress will really reassert its role in being that oversight that they should be. Part of Camp Democracy in our time is to talk specifically about, as you said, what's going on in Iraq. We didn't even touch this morning yet on Lebanon and what's going on in Israel and the Gaza Strip.
Right.
But what we want to talk about at Camp Democracy, as you said, is to challenge the administration in very concrete ways. Some of the work that we'll be doing is in support of Congressman Conyers' efforts with House Resolution 635 to begin that oversight special investigation to look at the lies that led to the war in Iraq. We can only hope now with Tony Blair going down that President Bush is soon to follow. And our efforts here is
And let's touch on that. Tony Blair has announced that he will resign within a year. He is responding to very sharp pressure and a series of resignations from his cabinet.
And we can only hope that the dominoes will continue to fall over here in our country. The same lies that the Prime Minister got us into in regards to the Downing Street memos, the memo that we all know about, that talked about the secrecy of the Bush administration.
The policies being fixed around the intelligence being fixed around the policies.
Around the facts.
Yeah.
And so here we are at Camp Democracy. As you said, the spectrum is challenging and at the same time encouraging for the progressive movement, because what we're finding here on the ground in Washington and across the country is that we're no longer the minority. Mm-hmm. When you talked about these issues, a majority of Americans agree with us.
Yeah.
A majority of Americans agree in regards to holding the president accountable.
Want to give people information on the web, campdemocracy.org. You can find rides to Washington. You can put together a bus from your community to come here. You can share housing here in Washington, and you can see the schedule of events. Camp Democracy will be in session until September 21st, here on the Mall in Washington, D.C.
And what's very exciting about Camp Democracy is all the organizations. I'm with Progressive Democrats of America. Our day was yesterday. I'd also encourage folks to go to the website at pdamerica.org and hear some of the testimony and some of the speeches that were given yesterday by Congressmember Barbara Lee and Congressmember Jim McGovern. There's a lot of organizations that are stepping up to do this. And as you said, there's plenty of time to make plans to be with us.
We're talking with Tim Carpenter from Progressive Democrats for America. Camp Democracy is underway here in Washington, D.C. I'm Peter B. Collins, sitting in today and tomorrow on the Tom Hartman Program. Give us a call, 866-440-THOM.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Hey, it's the Tom Hartman radio program. I'm Peter B. Collins, sitting in for Tom today from Washington, D.C. Tom is out on a book tour. You might watch him popping up on media outlets all over the place. His new book is called Screwed, and it's about the economic displacement of many working Americans. Very powerful new book, and I'm just so amazed at the work Tom Hartman does. 6 hours of live radio every day. He publishes a book almost every year. There's a new documentary film that he's prominently featured in called Crude Impact about peak oil. And it ties together the problems with the declining supply of oil in the world and foreign policy, particularly that of the United States. Very powerful stuff. So Tom Hartman working hard today, but he's not on the show. I'm Peter B. sitting in. Tim Carpenter's with us from Progressive Democrats for America. We're here in Washington to help support Camp Democracy. It's an effort to bring attention to important issues and work for a little regime change here in Washington. Tim, let's take some phone calls. Mark joins us from Grand Rapids. Hello, Mark. You're on the Tom Hartman program.
Can you hear me now?
I sure can. Go right ahead.
Okay. I have 10 years of special operations and intelligence in the United States military, and supposedly, Raytheon Corporation has a $70 million contract to develop an anti-rocket propelled grenade system. The only problem is that they're going to spend the $70 million this year, and the Israelis already have a system that's ready, and it was tested by the U.S. Army this year. And I know a few people that were killed over there by rocket propelled grenades, and hundreds of people have been killed and wounded. And I wondered, since you guys are in Washington, is this going to be like a body armor thing where we have to buy our own to send to the troops? Or is there some type of way that we could push the politicians into buying this instead of padding their own bank accounts?
Well, it goes without saying, Mark, that before we send troops into battle, that they should be properly equipped. Of course, I'm one of those people who ask the lingering question of, you know, why did we have to send people into Iraq to begin with? It was an elective war. And the president sent troops in there under the serious impression that they were going to be facing chemical and biological weapons. And we were underprepared for that. Our troops did not have proper equipment. We later learned that the Humvees were not properly up-armored, particularly for these IEDs. And so while I'm not familiar specifically with this RPG intercept device, I would have to say that under the current programs, you might expect that American troops would have to help defend themselves, and that's a very sorry commentary. I also think that we're shortchanging veterans in many ways, particularly those who have served in Iraq and Afghanistan.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for your call. Now to Dave in Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the Tom Hartman program. Welcome.
Hey, dear Peter. Tom made a most excellent choice to have you covered today.
Well, thanks.
You began the program asking the question of us, what did we think has been our biggest loss in the recent years? And I have to think it's the mainstream media, the loss of a free press, that's all now corporate directed. I got to think that's of everything, and we have certainly lost a lot.
Yeah, it's amazing because I was on a plane yesterday flying out here, and, you know, they have TV on the plane. So I watched a little Fox News. I watched a little NBC News. I watched Katie Couric for the first time anchor the CBS Evening News. And they're just bringing us another parade of distractions. There's a fugitive on the loose in New York State, and everybody's supposed to be hunkered down and in fear mode. You know, we get distracting news about this bigamist from Utah who is now in custody. And it's just a very sorry service that the media gives us these days.
I know that.
More Paris Hilton and less foreign policy. It's shameful. And then we get into, you know, the ABC so-called docudrama about 9/11, which is riddled with inaccuracies.
It's Bill Clinton's fault.
Yeah, it's all Clinton's fault. And, you know, you're right, Dave. I think that between the damage to our electoral process, and on my program, you and I have talked a lot about California District 50 and the issues there. We, you know, really believe that Brian Bilbray was sworn in illegally, and now that he has been sworn in, a state judge in California says you cannot file lawsuits against the underlying election. That is a real breach of our democracy, and we're not seeing much fight back. Dave, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Ken in Sacramento. Hello, Ken. You're on the Tom Hartman program. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I was going to call and ask whether either one of you gentlemen have heard of an author by the name of Morris Berman. He wrote a book called Dark Ages America, The Final Phase of Empire. And I'm a political science scientist by education. This is the only book that I've read that actually points out that when you talk about restoring democracy to America, we're already beyond the point of no return. When you have basically a fascist regime in power that is economically self-sustainable and has put so much of its emphasis into a capitalist free market system that it simply can't be divorced any longer, and that it may be time to start discussing American democracy in the past tense.
Well, Ken, you have a point there, and I think it's fascinating to see the president and his surrogates trot out the word fascism and relate it to Al-Qaeda and others where it has no application.
The reworking of language.
Yes, they're trying to neutralize that term so it can't be used against them. I thank you for raising the point. Ken, thanks for the call from Sacramento. We're going to take a break and return. Tim Carpenter's with me from Progressive Democrats for America. We're here at Camp Democracy in Washington, D.C. Log on to campdemocracy.org for more information. Peter B. Collins sitting in today on the Tom Hartman Program.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
I'm Peter B. Collins in Washington, D.C., sitting in for Tom Hartman today, who's taken a couple of days off the radio gig to promote his new book called Screwed. And I'll be here today and tomorrow. We're supporting Camp Democracy in its third day on the Mall at Constitution Avenue between 14th and 15th Streets here in Washington. Just under the Washington Monument, you can see, of course, the Capitol building from there. And lots of people are building every day. A few more people come in. And we want you to support this however you can, remotely from where you are, using your computer. Go to campdemocracy.org. And if you can organize a group of people to hop in a car and come over for the weekend, this is a very critical time in our nation, and your voice needs to be heard. The Tom Hartman Program is heard coast to coast on great radio stations, on Sirius Satellite Radio, and a shout-out to my trucking buddies on Sirius. Yeah, I was there before Howard. Sponsors of the Tom Hartman Program, Sacred Grounds Coffee, saving the planet one cup at a time. Call them at 1-800-425-2532 or go on the website at sacredgroundscoffee.com. And by Small Dog Electronics. Get the latest iPod now at 1-800-511-MACS. That's 511-MAX, 1-800-511-MAX, or on the web at smalldog.com. Tim Carpenter continues in the studio with us here. We're at the Center for American Progress, just a couple of blocks from the scene at Camp Democracy. Hey, and Mike, in the next few minutes, let's get a live report from David or one of the folks just down the street here at Camp Democracy. And Tim, give us a quick sketch of what is planned over the next week and a half. Camp Democracy will be ensconced until September 21st, and this is building day by day.
Yeah, absolutely. Today is really a big day for us with the Immigration Rights Coalition. It's going to be out on the Mall this past weekend. Tens of thousands of folks are out on the streets. So the immigration will be center stage today. Through the weekend, we're going to be doing a lot of dialoguing about the upcoming elections and targeting to make sure that we win not only a progressive, not just to make sure we get a majority of Democrats, but more importantly to talk about a progressive majority of governing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk this weekend about what some of those policies will look like. We're going to be look at some of the work in regards to the environment. We're going to have specific days to look at the president in regards to accountability, impeachment. We're going to have whole days committed to these specific issues, as well as a lobby day. A lot of our work in the next couple of weeks here in Washington, D.C., and with our activists back home, is to make those appointments to visit their congressional members on the Hill and in their district offices. Some of the specific pieces of legislation that we're going to be lobbying around, the most important one, I think, yesterday that we spoke about was Jim McGovern's effort,
mm-hmm.
House Resolution 4232, to cut off funding for the war in Iraq. So these will be some specific things we'll be talking about, and the big day that we're leading up to will be our lobby day on the 19th.
Okay. And again, campdemocracy.org on the web is the best place for you to get information and get involved.
Each day is broken down, and there's a very detailed schedule that can walk you through each of those days. And as I said, all of the groups, there's over 40 groups, are actively engaged in this effort, who will take whole days and part days to work with us to give us the information that we'll
mm-hmm.
need to help us to build our movement and make it even stronger.
And Tim, there's a mood that's sweeping among Democrats and progressives that I'm very concerned about. A lot of people look at the polls, they read the papers, and they say, oh, it's going to happen in November, and we're relieved at the prospect that Democrats might take back control of the House and or the Senate. But let me be the first to say that it's not an easy task, and it's not a done deal.
I know.
And that the Republicans will use every available means. On the West Coast, we call it Raider tactics, you know, from the Raider Nation.
Absolutely.
It's just win, baby. If you got to steal the election, if you've got to mischaracterize and, sling mud at the opponent, do it. Because the Republicans have the money. They control the propaganda machinery, more or less. And we cannot be complacent and think, first of all, that Democrats are just going to waltz to victory in November, or secondly, that if they do, that fixes everything.
Oh,
we're going to have to stay on their butts.
Absolutely, and we need to remember just this coming Tuesday, there's going to be a number of primaries across this country. A lot of folks think we're already heading for the general election, but there's still a number of important primaries that are going to be taking place, from New York, in which Hillary Clinton continues to have to be challenged, Jonathan Tichini, who's doing a great job there. These are important elections coming up this coming Tuesday, and as we move into November, 61 days out. And as you said, we don't know what the October surprise will be this year. We know that it's coming. And in regards to stealing the election and making sure we get our votes counted, we have a lot of work to do just to make sure that we're monitoring those elections. As you've been following very closely what's going on in San Diego, we have to not only make sure that we vote, we've got to make sure that our votes are counted the way that they're cast.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly for us in the progressive community, we got to make sure that we don't just elect Democrats, but we elect progressive Democrats so that we move towards a progressive majority of Democrats. That's the work of PDA. It's the work that we've been doing on the ground with a number of our other organizations to make sure that in Maryland, that Kwasi Fume makes it through the primary, or that Al Wynn, a Congress member who's drifting to the center, who's pro-war, who voted for the bankruptcy bill, is defeated. We're challenging Democrats in these primaries, and these are very important elections that are coming up, and we hope that people will be engaged in those elections. And if you go to the PDA website, pdamerica.org, there's 30 campaigns that need our involvement and work, 30 good progressive candidates that are engaged. As you said, every day, every night, we have to turn it on. We have to walk our precincts. We have to register our voters. We have to make sure we organize and mobilize. By no means is any of this in the bag. We have a lot of work cut out ahead of us, and we want to ensure that everybody who's listening today does what they can, whether it be going to their workplace at the water cooler or going out and knocking on their neighbor's doors.
Tim Carpenter with us from Progressive Democrats for America. John in Fayetteville, Arkansas, thank you for your call. You're on the air on the Tom Hartman program.
Okay. Even though my experience has been observing the horrible destruction of free trade applied, I still think the most serious problem we face is the need for public financing of elections with no opt-out options for rich guys. And we also need to add instant runoff elections to allow serious third parties.
I support you on both those points, John. On the first, we're going to come up against the Bush-packed Supreme Court. And even before that, Buckley versus Valeo makes it very difficult to rein in the spending of a millionaire who wants to run for office. I do agree, though, we have a clean money Proposition 89 on the ballot in California this year. There's clean money in Arizona. Several other states and smaller jurisdictions have embraced it. It's the best route that I can see, short of outright public financing, that would ban, you know, anybody's money other than the public money in a campaign.
No, we have to definitely level the playing field. We have to continue to challenge Buckley Vallejo. In addition to IRV, instant runoff voting, we need to talk about fusion voting. Massachusetts, the Working Party from New York is coming to Massachusetts to start organizing now in fusion party. There's a lot of work to do. In Congress, currently, there's a national bill that Congressman Grijalva and Tierney from Massachusetts are co-authoring in regards to clean elections. Maine is one of the states, in addition to Arizona, where we know it works. Absolutely, I think it's the intersection where all these issues come together. Until we level the playing field and get the special interest money out, we're not going to succeed in these efforts. And I definitely agree with you. Coming from Massachusetts and watching the legislature repeal the clean elections law out there, we're on the ground, just as you said, in California, to move these efforts forward. We know that clean election works. What we lack, of course, is the political will and to get the special interest out of it. And I agree, it's definitely in the top two of the challenges we face.
Well, and trying to get members of the incumbent parties to change the rules of the game is very difficult because most of them think that more or less they work to their individual advantage, and as long as that's the case, it's very hard to get them to look at it from a good government point of view. John, thanks for raising those issues. I appreciate the call today. Now to Jeff in Tacoma, Washington. Jeff, you're on the Tom Hartman program. This is Peter B. with Tim Carpenter.
Hey, guys. You're doing a great show.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
I just wanted to say that guy kind of passed over free trade, and I feel like maybe it's just my self-interest being a trade unionist, but I feel like globalization has just destroyed the labor movement over the last 20 years, and I think we need to fight back.
Well, I think globalization is a factor, but I also think that it started with Reagan and the air traffic controllers.
Absolutely. And
unions have been on the defensive ever since. And under the Bush administration, it's what I call the wrecking crew. You know, you've got Mrs. Mitch McConnell as the Secretary of Labor, and she sends out memoranda to employers on how they can reduce their exposure to overtime by reclassifying people and cutting their pay.
Yeah, it's disgusting. I just wanted to jump in really quick and say that the Peru Free Trade Agreement is being picked up probably in October, and so America in Solidarity, that's the group I volunteer with,
mm-hmm.
we're partnering up with the Sierra Club to have an event around that issue called Party for the Amazon.
Yeah.
Coming up in October, and would you mind if I told folks the website?
Go right ahead, Jeff. We support activists.
www.partyfortheamazon.blogspot.com.
Okay, get a shorter URL next time.
I'll try.
One thing, Jeff, too, if I could just add quickly, with PDA, Progressive Democrats of America, the piece we want to work on is to make sure that we elect good Democrats that are fighting on fair trade. And I think one of the most important races I know you're aware of, to make sure that everybody's focused in on Ohio, Sherrod Brown, who really led the fight in the House in regards to fair trade, is in a real fight for the Senate. And hopefully Mike DeWine will get turned out and Sherrod will become the new senator from Ohio. And he'll help organize our first progressive caucus at the Senate level. But fair trade is a very important issue. I think Congressman Dennis Kucinich raised it in the presidential debate and put it at the forefront. And we need to continue to organize and mobilize, as you said, around that.
And it's also linked to the immigration debate, not the phony issues of, you know, asking people to self-deport or criminalizing those who are here without documents. But clearly, the failure of NAFTA has accelerated migration over our southern borders. And we need to recognize that it's a failure and scrap it. It's as simple as that, in my opinion. Jeff, thank you for the call. And, again, I appreciate your activism. It's something that we all benefit
from. Good luck with your event, Jeff.
We're going to take a break here and continue in just a moment here on the Tom Hartman Program. If you'd like to talk with us, lines are open at 866-440-8466. That's 866-440-THOM, 866-440-TOM. And sorry, I'm not available by email right now. I mentioned that. I'm Peter B. Collins, normally from San Francisco, but today I'm live from Washington, D.C., in the studios of the Center for American Progress, as we support Camp Democracy, underway until September 21, here in the nation's capital.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Take a deep breath, feel like you're choking.
It's the Tom Hartman Program, and I'm Peter B. Collins, sitting in for Tom today, and we moved the show to Washington, D.C. I'm originating from the Center for American Progress, but you can call the regular number, 866-440-THOM, 866-440-TOM. You like it all digitally? 866-440-8466 to get in touch with us. Tim Carpenter's with us, one of the organizers of Camp Democracy. They're on the web at campdemocracy.org. And, Tim, you know, one of the issues that people are wrestling with is what we call accountability. And this administration has run roughshod on so many fronts. They break the rules that Congress has for its operation. Members have been offered bribes on the House floor during a Medicare vote. The president uses signing statements to essentially cross his fingers, saying that while I sign this into law, I reserve the right to accept myself whenever I feel like it. He did that again yesterday. He said we have this new standard for treating detainees, but when we want to torture people, we will. He says we don't torture. And then he described that these at least 14 individuals who have recently been transferred to Guantanamo Bay coughed up information that he said was valuable. Now, the most recent one of these detainees to be detained has been in our custody for more than 3 years. And he pretends that they're sitting on actionable intelligence about where Al-Qaeda might strike next. That just doesn't make sense. It's not true. And yet, he operates in a world that's even separate from his own Pentagon. Because on Friday, he said things are going great in Iraq. The Pentagon released a report, said, well, it really sucks.
On second thought.
And yesterday, as he was proclaiming that we don't torture, the Pentagon was issuing a statement saying we welcome adherence to the Geneva Convention and that torture doesn't produce anything worthwhile.
Well, we've been very busy with Progressive Democrats of America and also through the work of AfterDowningStreet.org to really challenge Congress to really step it up and begin to really exercise their oversight responsibilities, beginning with Congressman Conyers' efforts around the After Downing Street. Many will remember Joe Wilson, John Boniface, Cindy Sheehan, who had our first hearing also with Ray McGovern, former CIA official.
Oh, I know Ray, yeah.
To bring to light all of this. And through the work of Congressman Conyers, hopefully most folks have visited his website. He's put together two amazing reports to begin to document, as you said, the warrantless wiretapping, all of it. It's documented, it's footnoted, 300 pages, each of those. The most important thing, with 61 days to go before the election, is to make sure that we have a majority of Democrats. So when Congress comes back in January, John Conyers would be the chair of the Judiciary Committee. Then we can begin to really move, as you said, in regards to some serious oversight. We can begin those investigations to look at the lies. We can give subpoena power to that committee through Congressman Conyers' efforts to really begin to look at that. And accountability, again, is one of the founding issues of Camp Democracy. A majority of Americans, when asked if the president lied and should be impeached, a majority of Americans from the Zogby poll to the AP poll show us that Americans want our Congress to act to hold him accountable.
Yeah.
And that's part of our work at Camp Democracy. On the 17th, we'll be devoting a whole day to that, to talk about the evidence, how to move forward, how to get your local Congress member to co-sponsor that bill. There's 37 members of Congress who are on board with John Conyers with 635 to move that effort forward. Mm-hmm. So accountability, impeachment are one of the founding issues at Camp Democracy, and we hope that folks will continue to work to bring that into the forefront as the election clock continues to tick and we get closer to November.
Stuart in Grand Rapids, Michigan joins us now on the Tom Hartman program. Stuart, go right ahead. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you doing, Peter?
Tim? Not too bad.
Your earlier caller, David, I think, discussed how the media has been such a key tool for the administration.
Yeah.
And a threat to democracy. I've got a perfect example for you.
Tell me.
MSNBC this morning is running a piece on a terrible crime spree happening at the mall in D.C.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had charts and graphs and everything, saying the words robbery and murder a lot, but I never did hear them mention Camp Democracy.
No, because there are no crimes being committed there. It's designed to try to draw attention to some of the great crimes that have been committed against the American people. But, of course, MSNBC, other than Keith Olbermann, doesn't find much time for stories like that.
They're two blocks away. They should be at the White House looking for the crime.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll send them over. Thank you, Stuart. David in Blaine, Washington, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. This is Peter B.
Well, it's an honor to speak with you guys. Yeah, you know, I'd like to think that there are good Republicans, but as a whole, the Republican Party cannot be trusted. I mean, they have the majority, whether through vote fraud or whatever, and look what they've done. They haven't done anything with the majority. So.
Well, not only that, David. I'm old enough to have lived through the Watergate era.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Nixon was held to account and essentially brought down by a coalition of principled Republicans and opportunist Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have principled Republicans, for the most part, who stand up and challenge this administration. Take,
definitely,
for example, we are still waiting for the work of the Senate Intelligence Committee and the report regarding the use of pre-war intelligence.
That's
and
right.
We're now told it's not going to be available until after this election.
See,
they didn't do
right
it
there,
around the last election.
That right there, that's to me, is a terrorist attack in itself, you know, by withholding information, you know, that shines light on the intelligence failure. Who dropped the ball? No one's been fired in this administration. It's unbelievable, except for Michael Brown. That's it.
Well,
you know?
And get this. Mark Juergensmeyer, Director of Global and International Studies at the University of California, Santa Barbara, has reviewed Bush's speeches and the various terror attacks
mm-hmm.
and pronouncements. And basically, he says, this public panic benefits the terrorists, whose work is made easier by an overactive government response that magnifies their efforts. In an odd way, this puts the government and the terrorists in league with one another. The main loser, alas, is the terrified public. Thank you for your call, sir. Tim Carpenter, thank you for joining us, and thank you for your work at Camp Democracy. Again, we want to direct people to campdemocracy.org.
Thanks so much for the opportunity.
All right, good to see you, Tim.
Thank you.
Coming up next hour, we hope to talk with Congresswoman Barbara Lee, Congressman Jim McGovern, and Congressman Jim McDermott. We'll see what happens. Stay tuned. I'm Peter B. Collins, sitting in for Tom Hartman today on the Tom Hartman Radio Program. I'm glad you're listening. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information. Uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman. And the Tom Hartman Program continues live from Washington, D.C. I'm sitting in for Tom today and tomorrow. It's Peter B. Collins. I'm from San Francisco, but I flew out to Washington to cover Camp Democracy. You heard a description of it from Tim Carpenter last hour. He's one of the founders of Progressive Democrats of America. And full information about Camp Democracy is on the web at campdemocracy.org. And I invite you to call the program. We're talking about our democracy and what attacks it has sustained so far and what we need to do to protect and nurture it. You can call in toll-free at 866-440-TOM, 866-440-THOM, 866-440-TOM. 8466. I've got lines available right now. And we're standing by. We've reached out to a number of progressive members of Congress who are supporting Camp Democracy, and we hope they'll be able to join us during the coming hour. But as you know, the votes on Capitol Hill take precedence. There are some key votes going on and a lot of debates underway as well. So we may hear from Congressman Jim McDermott of Washington State, Congressman Jim McGovern of Massachusetts, and Congresswoman Barbara Lee of California. So those are all available to us and expected sometime over the next hour or two. And your calls and comments are welcome here in Washington, D.C. Again, my number, 866-440-THOM. I wanted to expand a little bit just toward the end of last hour when we were talking with a caller. I referenced a report, a new study by three Columbia University researchers. And what it basically says is, that the more Bush talks about terror, the more he elevates the stature of Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. After months of ignoring Osama, in a speech he gave this week, I believe he mentioned him 19 times in a 40-minute period by name. And these researchers say three things can be expected from this kind of speech from Bush. The media will report will repeat the president's remarks, public fear of terrorism will increase, and the president's poll numbers will rise. a quote in this news article from, let's see, his name is Nakos. Sorry, I'm trying to find the first reference to him here in the story. Anyway, I think he's one of the researchers. He said, any actual threat message, a tape by bin Laden or al-Zawahiri or an alert, results in a great deal of messages in the media. People comment on it. They analyze it. The administration, experts in the field, comment on it. And it brings us more coverage, which tends to, as we say, elevate their stature and, of course, whip up fear among Americans. I want to give a shout-out and a pat on the back to federal judge Gerard E. Lynch. He sits on an appeals court in Manhattan, and he is the judge who is hearing the appeals that stem from the ruling by Judge Anna Diggs Taylor in federal district court in Detroit last month, which declared the NSA surveillance program that monitors international communications of people in the United States to be unconstitutional, and Judge Taylor in Detroit ordered it shut down and then put a stay on her order. Well, Judge Lynch is quite a live wire, and he tangled with the government attorney on a number of issues. The federal lawyer is Anthony Capolino, and for the first time in court on Tuesday, this attorney for the government asserted that the government has not acknowledged that these actions violate the 1978 Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. We don't agree that the government has specifically conceded that point. And the judge was baffled by that because nobody has ever raised that issue before. He said, this is the first time that I've understood that the government is taking the position that it is a contested issue whether this violates FISA. I'm glad we have a judge like this on the case. Now, he used to be a professor at Columbia Law School, and according to this article in the New York Times, he hasn't left the classroom entirely. The argument was studded with colorful hypothetical questions and echoes of the Socratic method. In response to one of his questions about whether Yankee fans threatened with being strip searched before entering the stadium would have standing to sue, the government lawyer threw up his hands. I don't know, he said, exasperated. Judge Lynch pressed Capolino with a series of questions on the limits of presidential power in the face of congressional prohibitions. So can he build a B-1 bomber if he wants to? If the president feels it's necessary to break into a psychiatrist's office to find out what Al-Qaeda is up to, can he do that? That, of course, is a reference to Daniel Ellsberg and the Pentagon Papers that launched the Plumbers Unit back in the Nixon administration leading up to Watergate. And Judge Lynch was not persuaded by Capolino's assertion that, well, it's possible depending on the scenario. He said, it's pretty uncharted ground you're asking me to get on. And then apparently recalling the government's state secrets argument, saying that they can't even talk about the case because it could blow state secrets, he said, or maybe you're asking me to stay off of it. Well, I'm pleased there is a judge there. We're going to see exactly what happens with that case, but hopefully he's standing up for our rights as American citizens. Let's join Jose Rodriguez now, live from Camp Democracy, just 6 blocks away from our studio here at the Center for American Progress. That is just under the shadow of the Washington Monument on the Mall here in Washington. Jose, thanks for joining us.
Hey, how you doing?
Give us a little tour. What's going on at Camp Democracy right now?
Well, right now I'm in the middle of Camp Democracy. We have this beautiful flagpole sticking straight out, and it's got the Camp Democracy flag, a nice white flag with blue lettering. To my right, we have a storage tent with all our gear that we need, music tech boxes, administration stuff. We have a lot of, like, duct tape. We use that, like, a mile of duct tape a day mm-hmm. here.
And where did you guys get the inflatable George W. Bush doll? It's taller than those Heineken bottles that you see.
The inflatable George W. Bush doll, a great guy out of San Francisco area named John Waller, shipped it out to us. He said, you got to put it up, and we certainly did. A lot of folks come by taking photographs of it.
It's an inflatable that's about 30 feet tall, and it shows George W. Bush's nose is sticking out Pinocchio style about 10 feet.
Yeah, the name is Bushocchio. So
Bushocchio.
You have George Bush also wearing the little jet pilot outfit that he pranced around on the aircraft carrier on with a big nose.
Yeah.
So it looks good. And next to it, we have a huge billboard, George Bush, guilty on all counts, impeached Bush-Cheney, spying on Americans, lying to Congress, waging an illegal war, torturing prisoners, operating secret prisons, and ignoring pre-9/11 warnings. So we have this big billboard out. We've got coming in a little later, 500 tombstones representing American dead and from Iraq. Also, we have a gentleman here whose son died in Iraq, and he has a little setup called Camp Alex.
Right.
With a coffin and flags and pictures of his son. It's very moving.
Yeah, I met Carlos this morning. I was quite touched.
You get some wet eyes coming through here. We have a nice creativity tent. We have these big paper mache heads of our good friends W and Condi and Dick and Rumsfeld. We parade around in those in black and white striped prison outfits. We have a nice tent full of vendors and exhibitors. We've got Department of Peace, Iraq Veterans Against the War, Bring Them Home Now. We have DC Anti-War Network, Make a Difference, Pledge Peace, Peace Voters, Voters for Peace, all sorts of stuff here. And it's a beautiful day, inviting all your listeners. Come to Washington, D.C., go to the Washington Monument, big white thing sticking out of the ground. You get there, you can see us.
That's right. And I want to encourage people to come over for the weekend. You know, I used to live in the Midwest, and for people in this part of the country, it's not so difficult. A 3 to 5 hour drive can bring a lot of people to Washington, D.C. And if you can only be here for a day or two, you can lend your voice and your body to show people that we're standing up for real American democracy. And we know that so much of it has been hijacked by the radical Republican administration that's been in control for too long now. And it's time for people to wake up and get involved. I'm a veteran of the protests of the Vietnam War, and we had thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who came to Washington. And we need to reprise that. We need activists my age and people of younger generations to come to Washington and stand up for our rights. Go ahead,
Jose. I was drafted for Vietnam, so you certainly want to get as many people out here so we don't have to draft again.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about it this morning. You know, one of the reasons that so many Americans seem complacent about the war is that we don't have a draft. I'm not advocating a draft in order to activate American people, but I don't think that you need to be pinched by the risk of your son or daughter being sent to Iraq to realize how wrong this is and just how bad it is for our country and our future. Jose, thanks for your activism.
Hey,
thanks for the tour of peace
democracy. Talk to you, buddy.
All right. We'll continue in a moment here on the Tom Hartman Program. Call me toll-free, 866-440-TOM. I'm Peter B.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Radio.
Live from Washington, D.C., the site of Camp Democracy, through September 21st. So there's time for you to gather up activist friends and come to Washington and express yourself. Very important issues up in the air these days. Time for Victoria Jones to join us from Talk Radio News Service. Hello, Victoria. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. How are you?
Doing well today. It's an exciting time in Washington.
Well, it certainly is, and not only did we have a big speech by the president today, yet another big speech by the president today, but the Democrats, leading Democrats, all these people in the same room, we had in one room, at one podium, we had Senators Schumer, Clinton, Leahy, Levin, Rockefeller, Reid, Menendez, and Durbin, all together, which is, you know, like, that's big guns.
Yeah.
To introduce what they're calling the Real Security Act of 2006, they had a big press conference to introduce that because they basically feel that we need to be both strong and smart. And Senator Schumer made the point yesterday that with Rumsfeld and with the Republicans, they are strong but not necessarily smart. And Senator Clinton went on about how the Republicans talk great, but they don't want to spend the money. They'd rather spend the money on tax cuts.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it does seem that Democrats are getting a unified message. I think the debate over the no-confidence vote on Donald Rumsfeld is gathering some strength. And it does seem that, you know, they're they're finding their way into key message points for this midterm election. But there's no question in my mind that the president has seized the advantage and is shifting the agenda on almost a daily basis.
He definitely is doing that, and of course he has the bully pulpit, and he's able to do that. And I would have to say that this week I think he's done it effectively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I also understand there was a rally at noontime today regarding Social Security. Do you have any info on that?
You know, that one I don't have much information on. I know a little bit more about the rally at 4 o'clock on the Mall about immigration.
Mm-hmm.
But the Social Security one, no, I wasn't even aware that one happened.
Okay, well, Congressman McDermott is supposed to join us in the next few minutes, and I know he participated in that, so I'll get an update from him. Now, part of the action at Camp Democracy today relates to immigration issues, and there is another group that has sponsored a fairly large gathering here in the Capitol today.
Yes, yes, indeed. They're expecting about 100,000 people today. This is largely sponsored by the unions. And Senator Ted Kennedy will be addressing them this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
This is very much to bring attention back to immigration. One of the key points being, of course, look, I'm saying what they would say now, being, look, you talked about immigration for months and months and months, and now you're not even going to pass a frigging bill. You know, for crying out loud, what is up with you? And, of course, what is up with everybody is that the Republicans are split within themselves, and the House and Senate are split, and nobody really wants to go there.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for my money, no action on immigration is the best outcome from the Hobson's choices, the Senate and House bills that we've seen so far this year.
And there are many people who feel the same way as you. There's no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the questions I think that people are asking is, how do people feel back in the constituencies? Do they feel, look, it's best to have no bill than to have the wrong bill? Or are they feeling, look, you've talked about it for long enough, we'd like you to see you do something?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really clear which way people feel about that.
Right. Victoria, thanks for your report. We're going to jump to Congressman McDermott now. And
thank
Jim
you.
McDermott is a congressman from Washington State. He is a Democrat, and he also is a medical doctor. He spoke at Camp Democracy yesterday. He's a senior member of the Ways and Means Committee. And if Democrats regain control, he'll be the ranking member of a key subcommittee there starting in the next session. He was one of the first to oppose the Iraq War, made a trip to Baghdad that I recall vividly in 2002. Congressman, welcome to the Tom Hartman program today.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Pleasure to talk with you, sir. I'm doing fine.
I hope Tom's out having a good time somewhere.
He never, he's not a pleasure seeker. He's one of the hardest working people in radio, and he's actually off to promote his new book called Screwed, which is about the problems facing the working class in America today.
Yes, he was up in Seattle and helped me with an event here recently, so I got to know him, and I really appreciate his both his vigor and his perseverance.
Oh, indeed. He's a great guy. Congressman, I want to ask you just briefly about the rally that you attended about an hour ago regarding Social Security. Is that issue still in play?
Well, you know, it's like the snake with seven heads. We thought we'd beaten it down in the last 2 years. But George Bush said now in the next session, 2007, that's going to be first on my agenda. So Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid got together and got us all out there today, and we all signed a pledge that said, not on our watch. As long as he wants Social Security to be privatized, the president is not going to get any cooperation from the Democrats, because
mm-hmm.
we're not going to put the senior citizens in this country's fate in the hands of the executives at Enron and people like that. That simply is not Social Security. It's social insecurity.
Indeed it is. Well, and to me, the greatest accomplishment of the last few years by the Democrats on the Hill has been blocking the misguided effort by the Bush administration to modify Social Security.
I would agree with that, and I think most of us are really excited about the potential of taking over the Congress so that we can once again get back to doing positive things
mm-hmm.
rather than simply stopping negative things.
Right. Congressman, I've got to go to a break and I can't stop it. Can you hang with us and jump back in the next segment?
Sure can.
All right. That's Congressman Jim McDermott. We'll continue. And if you have a question or comment, join us toll free. It's 866-440-THOM. 866-440-TOM. I'm Peter B. Collins on the Tom Hartman Program.
This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman.
It's the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Peter B. Collins in Washington, D.C. today. We're supporting Camp Democracy underway on the Mall. That's at Constitution Avenue between 14th and 15th Streets, just under the Washington Monument. And we encourage you to visit Washington sometime between now and September 21st. Lend your voices and your support to Camp Democracy. One of the people who spoke yesterday is Democratic Congressman Jim McDermott from Seattle, who is on the line with us and generous enough to continue for a little while longer. Congressman, what was the message you offered at Camp Democracy yesterday?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to recognize the power of one individual like Cindy Sheehan. Somebody who stands up and speaks can begin a movement that gets way bigger than she ever thought it would be or that anybody ever expects. And I think the fact that everybody was there was in part a recognition of what Cindy's done. She has really kept the focus on the fact that this war was ill-conceived in the start, and it has become an increasing disaster as we've gone along. And that was my message, was as a physician, I went through the Vietnam experience. I dealt with casualties coming home from Vietnam. And I when I saw this war coming, I thought, I've seen this movie, and it's not a good one. It has a terrible ending. And Cindy had this awful experience very early of losing her son. And rather than retreat into grief and sort of hiding or something, she went out and said, I'm going to try and change it. And I think that what I want people to understand is that this thing is going to be brought to an end by ordinary citizens, not by the Congress, but by ordinary people who say, I'm not going to sit quietly and let this happen. I'm going to say something. And I think that was my message to them.
What could be the president's calculation that he has not been able to find 15 minutes to sit down and talk with Cindy Sheehan? I mean, it's so shameful on his part. He's read 60 books this year, he tells us.
Well, some of us doubt that he probably read them.
I doubt it, too, but that's
but
a whole lot of free time, isn't it?
Yeah, right, it is. It's clear that emotionally he is not capable of dealing with a grieving mother. Mm-hmm. She's not a mean person. She's not an ugly person. She's not somebody who's going to be, but she wants to tell him from the bottom of her heart that it's all right to change his direction and that she won't feel it's a dishonor to her son. She knows that, you know, people make mistakes. She's mm-hmm. willing to accept that. But the president, unfortunately, does not seem to have the ability to say, I made a mistake and I got to change it and I've got to make a new direction. It seems like that's totally beyond his capability. And I think that's what she wants to do, is to talk to him and say, it's all right. It's all right. You can change.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, one of my greatest concerns, not to give short shrift to our failures in Afghanistan, where problems are mounting, our colossal failures in Iraq, where we continue to be bogged down with no end in sight and the president's boots deeply dug in. And now it appears that this administration is hell-bent on military action against Iran. We're seeing some of the same techniques that were used to drum up support for the Iraq invasion now being used to vilify Iran. And once again, Iran, like Saddam, is offering up some juicy targets for the president to hit on, and it appears to be playing well with some elements of the American public. I'm very concerned that many Democrats appear too complacent about the intentions of this administration toward Iran.
Well, I have a whole pile of articles here on my desk from around the world where it is pretty clear that the rest of the world agrees with you and that there is real potential for another mistake being made by this president, in part because once headed down the wrong way, and not being able to turn and say, nope, that's the wrong way to go. I got to go somewhere else. They are hurtling toward this. This whole thing that went on in the in Lebanon and in Syria in the last little bit, I think should make people real anxious. And I think it's time for change. I think this government seems unable to change, and the only way they're going to change is if one or the other house or both houses of the Congress can finally begin doing some oversight.
Well, let me bottom line it this way. If Democrats take back one or both houses on the Hill this November in the midterm elections, will we be able to prevent this administration from launching military action against Iran? They don't currently have an authorization for it, but they haven't bothered with niceties like that often in the past.
Well, I think that a few hearings about what would be the potential outcome of that kind of an event would be, I think, very instructive. I've had dinner with former CIA agents who are no longer in the agency who talk about the fact that this will just be a beyond belief explosive situation we will create if we attack Iran. They will then turn loose their friends around the area, and we're going to meet them on the ground in Iraq, and we're going to see all kinds of things happen around the world. It is just, if you don't want terror, then you cannot spread terror. And I think that's one of the things that is required, that's what requires us to sit down and talk. Until we sit down and talk, right now you got Condi Rice over in the Middle East. We have no relationship with Syria. We have no relationship with Iran. Who does she talk to? And foreign policy is finding a balance. And you need something. We need something. And how can we? But you'll never find that when you're dropping bombs from 40,000 feet. So that's why it is crucial that we get ourselves into a position where we're beginning to talk to some of these countries rather than threatening them.
I sure agree. We're talking with Congressman Jim McDermott, Democrat from Seattle, here on the Tom Hartman program. I'm Peter B. Collins. And Congressman, it's again bizarre that this administration, responding to a setback from the Supreme Court, which it has packed as well as it possibly could, but Hamdan versus Rumsfeld in late June, really disallowed the policies of the administration related to detainees at Guantanamo and elsewhere. So now the president's pivoting and saying, well, we've moved all these people from the undisclosed gulags in Eastern Europe and other locations. And despite the fact that I expressed the desire to close Gitmo, we're bringing a new population to Gitmo, and we're going to extend to them Article 3 of the Geneva Convention. And then he crossed his fingers, sending legislation to you folks on the Hill, trying to legalize the extra legal behaviors that have already occurred, and trying to get Congress to sign off on what I consider to be blatantly undemocratic procedures. And at the same time, he wants the CIA to maintain the prison system and reserve the right to use extraordinary means. Of course, we don't torture, he says, which is hard to believe. You get my point. It's amazing how the president spins this stuff.
You know, one of the things, Peter, I think that needs to be said here is the First Amendment is the thing that has protected us. Had there not been a First Amendment in our Constitution so that this stuff could leak out and be printed and talked about on the radio and on television, we would never have known. If you think about what today is, today the president admitted that we had gulags in other parts of the world.
Yeah. And if I may interrupt, when Condoleezza Rice went through Europe last year, I called it the Torturepalooza tour. Every stop, she was confronted with a guy named Al-Masri in Germany, who had been a subject of extraordinary rendition. And then the Italians came forward and accused the CIA of grabbing people off the streets of Milan. And we have this incredible evidence of U.S. violations of international law and the sovereignty of other nations, and the president can maintain with what appears to be a straight face that we don't torture.
Yeah, well, it's pretty clear that we have been misled on many, 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 many levels. And what's missing at this point, well, first of all, if I could just make one change in the government, I'd send Rumsfeld to the green zone and let him sit there so he can get a real close look at this war that he keeps coming back and telling us is so fine. I think if he's up there on a day-to-day basis and not a fly-in every once in a while under very, very unique circumstances, we would get a whole different view. He would get a whole different view
yeah.
of the war. But the fact is that there cannot be a continuation of what's going on now. We've got 140,000 of our people over there as targets in a civil war. And as long as they stay out in the field, and the president just extended some 13,000 people more and said, nope, you guys aren't coming home on your regular rotation. You're going back to Baghdad because we have to figure out how to we've got to quiet things down in Baghdad. It sounds like he's admitting that things are out of control, but no. He says, no, things are progressing just fine. Well, you can't have it both ways, and we need some oversight from the Congress. We have to have some way to try and get back control of what's happening in this country.
Mm-hmm. I certainly agree. Congressman Jim McDermott, a real pleasure to talk with you, sir, and I hope we can do it again. Thank you for your time today, and thank you for your support of Camp Democracy.
Thank you. Anytime.
Jim McDermott, Democrat from Seattle, here on the Tom Hartman Program. 45 minutes past the hour, we'll take a break and return. You can call us at 866-440-THOM. Sitting in for Tom today, I'm Peter B. Collins in Washington, D.C.
Fearlessly exploring the truth of the day, here's Tom Hartman.
Tom Hartman has taken a rare day off. I'm Peter B. Collins sitting in for Tom. And I'm live from Washington, D.C. We're originating from the Center for American Progress. Just 8 blocks away is Camp Democracy under the shadow of the Washington Monument. And a lot of great people have been gathering here to express themselves, speak truth to power, and try to galvanize the American public, particularly with these important, critical midterm elections coming up in November. Colonel Ann Wright joins us on the program today. I've had the pleasure of talking with you from Crawford, and we met earlier this year here in Washington at the Take Back America conference. And, Colonel, you have a new stripe on your shoulder today. You've been banned from yet another facility here in the nation's capital.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you, there's not going to be much left by the time this war is over, but now
well,
I've been banned.
Well, could you leave now before we have to call the gendarmes? And the...
Well, you're going to have to throw me out. I'm not leaving voluntarily. I didn't leave voluntarily from the U.S. Capitol, from the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing where I spoke my mind in my orange Guantanamo jumpsuit during the confirmation hearings of William Haynes, one of the architects for torture, who's been nominated by the Bush administration for a lifelong federal appointment to the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals.
And he would join Jay Bybee, who has a lifetime appointment on the appeals court, the Ninth Circuit in San Francisco. He, of course, authored some of those memoranda, the ones that called the Geneva Convention quaint and basically argued for new definitions of torture.
Absolutely. And so these guys, they wreck the law, and what do they get? A nomination and in one way, a confirmation for Bybee. What we're trying to make sure the Senate Judiciary Committee knows is that the people of the United States think this is a outrageous nomination, and so I stood up in the committee hearings and spoke my mind until the cops came to escort an unauthorized witness, but a witness for the people.
Now, how can you be banned? Can a judge actually order you banned from the Capitol grounds?
Yeah, I just got it today. I went to the hearing. All this took place on July 11th, and then today was my hearing day, and I've just...
Were you allowed to be present as the evidence was presented?
Well, remarkably, that hasn't been closed down yet,
here,
like it has in Gitmo and
right.
other places.
Yeah.
So I was able to look the judge in the eye when he handed me this banned order saying I must stay away from the following places or area. The area bounded by 2nd Street, Louisiana Avenue, Constitution, 3rd, Independence, Washington, da-da-da-da-da, essentially.
So this is a restraining order?
Yeah. Yeah, I can't go there, and if I do, I risk felony conviction.
Really?
Yeah.
So now you have to navigate pretty carefully in the nation's capital. Where else are you persona non grata and subject to arrest?
Well, my goodness, I can't go on to 2 military bases for a year, Fort McNair and Fort Myer, because I placed some little 3x5 postcards that were advertising the movie Sir No Sir, which mm-hmm. is an accurate documentary about GI resistance during Vietnam, a movie that was being filmed right or screened right here in Washington.
Well, an offense like that should qualify for a minimum mandatory life.
Well, I'll tell you, when you put it at the Center of Military History, the Office of the Center of Military History, and I thought that was part of military history. It may not be a part the military likes, but it mm-hmm. is still part of their history, so I thought they ought to know about it, so I left some of these cards there. And then I was told by this young MP that was younger than the number of years that I'd spent in the military, 29 years, and he
right.
was 23, and he said, "This is seditious material, ma'am. Got to detain you." And mm-hmm. so I was first handcuffed and then shackled to a chair in the MP station.
Wow.
Anyway, now I've been banned for a year from the two military bases here in Washington. And then the other place I've been banned is the National Press Club for life.
Really?
Yes. I, along with Medea Benjamin, went to listen to Senator Hillary Clinton's
right.
discussion of her energy plan. And at the end of an hour, we'd listened to her very politely, but she'd still had not mentioned anything about Middle Eastern oil, particularly oil from Iraq and a war in Iraq. So
mm-hmm.
we felt it was appropriate that the audience question her on that, and we both stood up to ask our questions. And at the National Press Club, you can't ask a question. You have to write it down.
Uh-huh.
And we weren't too sure that our question was going, if we wrote it down. We did write it down, but we didn't think ours was going to get picked.
Right.
So we decided we'd better stand up and make sure we got an answer.
Mm-hmm.
We got applause as we left, and I don't think it was for getting hauled out. I think it was that the audience wanted that question asked too.
And do you have cuff burn on your wrists? Or?
Oh, I've got several little bands now. There should be 5 rings here for 5 arrests since
mm-hmm.
September of last year, the first time I'd ever been arrested in my life. But
Colonel Ann Wright with us here on the Tom Hartman program. As she mentioned, 29 years service to our military, and then she joined the State Department, from which she resigned in protest of the Bush administration's policies. Let's sneak in a phone call here. Will in Pittsburgh, thanks for calling. You're on the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, I hate it when you say that, but okay. I love it when you call. Thank you, Will. Go ahead.
First of all, would you introduce me to your guest? I didn't catch her name.
Colonel Ann Wright.
Colonel?
Yep.
Colonel Wright?
Yep. And make it quick here, Will. The time's running.
Oh, okay. It was about, I'm sorry to hear that you are being tyrannized and terrorized, and I actually called for something else, but I'm not surprised that this is happening to the colonel. This is, I don't know what it is, a fascist, communist state. I mean,
No. Fascism is Al-Qaeda's province.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
The president says that.
You know, you're one of those appeasers. Can we call you Neville Chamberlain, Will?
You may.
Okay.
Yeah, when I'm dead.
All right, we'll put it on your tombstone. Will,
yeah.
Neville. All right, sir, look, I'm out of time here for this hour, but I thank you for the call and support. And Ann Wright, invite people to Camp Democracy.
Oh, absolutely. Camp Democracy is a place that people need to be in right now. We've just come from Camp Casey down in Crawford, Texas, where we were pestering the president. We're going to pester him right up here. So it's something that American people need to do is pester this president until
yeah.
we get truths, that we get a change in policies on so many different things. So,
and we need to restore your rights.
And my rights,
go
too.
To campdemocracy.org, get full information, and join us here in Washington between now and September 21st. Thank you, Ann Wright.
Thanks.
Coming up more next hour, live from Washington, D.C., sitting in for Tom Hartman, I'm still Peter B. Collins. You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information. Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman. It's the Tom Hartman radio program, coast to coast, and I'm Peter B. Collins, sitting in for Tom today. If you haven't heard, he's off today and tomorrow on a book tour. His new book is called Screwed, and I encourage you to pick it up. It's just been published, and it depicts the real challenges to working families in America today. I'm here in Washington, D.C. We're originating from the Center for American Progress. We're just a few blocks away from Camp Democracy, which has been started this week on the Mall, just under the Washington Monument on Constitution Avenue, just a couple of blocks from the White House, not so far from the U.S. Capitol. And people are gathering in increasing numbers every day. I want to invite you to go to campdemocracy.org. There are all kinds of options there to carpool with people or organize a bus from Chicago or Des Moines or wherever you happen to be. And we invite you. Camp Democracy will be open and available through September 21st. And this is a forum for you to speak out and be heard. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to meet Vicenta Montoya. She is an activist and an attorney for the civil rights of immigrants in this country. And also later this hour, Kim Gandy, the president of the National Organization for Women, will join us here in the studio. Your calls and comments are welcome. We will work them in as we can at 866-440-THOM. That's toll-free, 866-440-8466, 866-440-TOM. This morning I met Carlos Arredondo. He came with a very moving display to Camp Democracy. It's a flag-draped coffin, and that is an image, a symbol, that Americans have been prevented from seeing, for the large part, by this administration as they manage the coverage and the propaganda of the war in Iraq. Carlos Arredondo lost his son, Alexander, a Lance Corporal, who was killed in Iraq. Carlos, welcome to our program, and thank you for your activism and your advocacy.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's an honor for me to be in Washington and practice the First Amendment of the Constitution.
Yeah. You know, what I found is that many people who were not born in this country have a greater knowledge of our Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the legal rights that are enjoyed by Americans than people who were born here and studied it in civics class and who should know about it.
Well, you know, one thing I got to remember, the American people is know what the country can do for them. Is what you can do for the country is one thing who all we need to know. I'm a Gold Star father and also an immigrant father, and for me to be expressing the way I feel, you know, honor my son, honor him by honoring the fallen heroes also.
Mm-hmm.
Remember people also that we have the NATO forces who also had a big number of casualties, they know, being recalled. So it's very important for people to get together on this.
Mm-hmm. When Cindy Sheehan went public and talked about her loss of Casey and her desire to have a personal meeting with the president to ask him why her son died in Iraq, what did that mean to you?
Well, that was the day I really come out. That's the day I said, oh, my God, thank you. I got an ally. That's what I needed. That's what the day I said, I got to go to Crawford. Pretty much that was the day I speak out because I know I wasn't alone.
Mm-hmm. Now, Carlos, you gained a little bit of media attention because when the military officers came to notify you that your son Alex had died in combat, you reacted in a very dramatic way. Tell us what happened. It was your birthday, right?
Right. That was my 44th birthday, and I was waiting for the phone call from Alexander, who he never missed a phone call to say happy birthday, Dad, and I was in Hollywood, Florida at the time, working outside, and suddenly I saw the Marine vans pull up in front of my house, and I was very excited. I said, oh, my God, Alex home. You know, I saw the uniforms, and I went so excited about it. Even when they came to talk to me, I say, where's my son? And they say, are you Carlos Arredondo? And pretty much they told me the news, which is very difficult to hear, you know, and deal with. You know, I pretty much fall apart. I mean, I can't believe it. This was happening. I celebrated life, and suddenly, you know, I'm sort of in the middle of death and right there on the spot. So I pretty much asked them for the notification team to African-American, Spanish, Marine who was there, you know, please to leave my house. You know, I asked for half an hour, three different times, and they pretty much, you know, was following the protocol they were supposed to be following. They told me they was waiting for my wife, you know, like 12 minutes after the first 10 time I asked them to leave my house, they didn't. They give me the reason they was waiting for my wife. And I ran to the backyard. I make a phone call, the recruiter, Martinez, and somebody else come out on the line and said, you got the wrong number. I call again, and and sort of was, I had no support. They didn't bring any chaplain. They don't bring me inside the house. They didn't give me guara. I didn't have anybody there except my mother, 64-year-old woman, mm-hmm. who didn't even speak English. And was a very difficult moment for me to bear in by myself. Oh, my God. And the second time, you know, I asked the Marines, I come outside, you know, I said, can you please leave my house? Can you please leave my house? And they pretty much say, we're waiting for your wife. So, you know, you got to go. And I was holding already a 5-pound hammer, and I approached the U.S. Marine van, and I was going to start destroying that image because, but to me, at that moment, was a nightmare.
Sure.
And I was hoping that nightmare disappeared, and I was asking God to please help me out to wake up from this. And pretty much, I didn't do anything at the moment. I hear my mother say, don't do that. And I hear somebody say, sir, if you do and you're going to be in trouble. So suddenly I ran back to my house again, to the backyard. I pray God to help me on these circumstances. And I said, please, this is not happening. And suddenly, you know, I went out again. I seen the Marine van outside, parked outside again. And I grabbed 5 gallons of gasoline, mm-hmm. a propane torch, and I asked the Marine to please, they have to go, but they didn't leave, you know. So I went to the U.S. Marine van outside, pick up the hammer, start breaking windows, destroying the van, and
yeah.
I put the gasoline and the propane torch inside the van. Then I walk in, and I lost the hammer when I broke the windows inside. I found the hammer once again inside. I destroy everything inside the van. Then I make through everything outside the windows.
And what's going through your mind?
Oh, I was crying, screaming for my son. I just cannot believe it. I've been in Iraq since my son left. You know, I'm disappointed with the way they seduced my son with promises of $10,000, you know, cash bonuses,
yeah.
$50,000 scholarship. I was angry they did not give him enough information before he was sent to Iraq. I was angry or they know. Asking me permission to take my son, they only require one member of the family to sign up. They never bothered to ask me. I'm pretty much upset about all that. And by the time, you know, they came to deliver those news, I already was upset
sure.
about us being in Iraq anyway.
Right.
What are we doing there? I was very angry about that.
And you were injured yourself by the fire you started.
Oh, my goodness. When I spray all that gasoline and I pretty much opened the propane gas torch inside the U.S. Marine van. I pretty much blew up with myself inside. You know,
yeah.
I went out the van on fire and landed on the ground. And at the time, was a helicopter already filming all this. It was happening at the moment. And I guess I burned 26% of my body in second and third degrees. And pretty much after that, Homeland Security and the FBI took control of my case. And believe me, I thought I was going to be ended up in Guantanamo because can be very serious.
Well, and did you worry about being deported?
Oh, of course I was very serious being deported. But at the moment, I was just pretty much mourning the loss of my son, you know, trying to worry about I'm burning and who knows what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
So too much for Gustav families, too much for military families. It's too much.
Yeah. And Carlos, you showed me some brochures. Your younger son is being approached by recruiters. They're now offering a $20,000 signing bonus.
Yeah, well, right now, you know, that's the offer the Army is giving to sons and daughters, you know, $70,000 scholarship, $20,000 cash bonuses. This is getting out of hand. I don't believe this is right for...
Well, and it's tragic because it's small amounts of money, but to people who live at the poverty level, it's a way out. It's a big pile of cash. And what it means is that we have a class-based recruitment system in this country, and only the poor end up in our all-volunteer army. I want to mention a website, peopleunitedforpeace.org. 4 is the number, peopleunitedforpeace.org. And Carlos is inviting people to come to the Coast Guard Beach National Seashore in Arlington East. This is on October 14th. What's going to happen there, Carlos?
Well, we're working with Veteran for Peace in Provincetown, you know, Cape Cod, and we're going to put together their Arlington East on October,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's welcome. Democrats and Republicans,
yeah.
you know, all American citizens are welcome. You know, it's a place where we're going to be honoring all the fallen heroes and remember, you know, we need to get together on this.
Mm-hmm. Carlos Arredondo, you're a fine man, and I appreciate your courage in speaking out and sharing your pain at the loss of your son, Corporal Alex Arredondo.
God bless America.
All right, stay with us, and in our next segment, Vicenta Montoya will join us here on the Tom Hartman Program. I'm Peter B. Collins in Washington, D.C., covering for Tom Hartman today, as we invite you to join Camp Democracy on the web, campdemocracy.org.
Bringing democracy to the United States of America, here's Tom Hartman.
It's the Tom Hartman Program. Ooh, I like this one. 21 minutes past the hour. I'm Peter B. Collins, sitting in for Tom today and tomorrow, live from Washington, D.C., where Camp Democracy is underway. It's building every day, and you are invited to come to the Capitol and participate between now and September 21st. There are workshops and teach-ins and various efforts to share information, build coalitions, build grassroots support. And, of course, it's keying on the midterm elections in November. But these are movements that have to go on well beyond any single election or any other marker, because even if Democrats regain control, there's still a whole lot of work to be done to maintain a focus beyond corporate Democratic policies and work for more progressive issues. Vicenta Montoya joins us in the studio now. She lives in Las Vegas. She's been an activist with civil rights groups all her life. She's been practicing immigration law since the 70s and in the Willamette Valley in Oregon. We have listeners in that area. Also, she worked at Centro Legal in Oakland, California, also in Bakersfield and Catholic Charities in Las Vegas. Vicenta, thanks for joining us. What brought you to Camp Democracy?
We were invited.
And well, I understand, but what's your mission?
Well, when we received that invitation from Camp Democracy, for me, it was a natural link with all the work that I've done with civil rights and working for people who have been demonized, who have been taken advantage of by our system. And with Camp Democracy, I think that it's important that the American public is taking back America. And with the National Immigration Solidarity Network, that's exactly what we're saying too.
Mm-hmm.
Taking back America. And to recognize that we have some very historic traditional roots. And part of those roots is the recognition that immigrants are the very fabric of what has made America great.
And one of the posters that you hung at Camp Democracy today called on people to stop bashing immigrants. And this has been quite a year. Republicans have, and some Democrats, have used this as what's called a wedge issue to divide American voters and to try to motivate those who can be appealed to through hate and through anger toward the other or toward strangers. And it's been ugly, and I'd just like to apologize on behalf of Caucasian Americans for the tone that this has taken. But I'm also pleased that it appears to be stalled, because Bill Frist has not put immigration on his agenda for the Senate this fall.
That's what I was reading yesterday. However, today I was reading something a little bit different, that the Republican leadership in the House is interested in trying to put forward a security measure-only bill, and this is kind of another end run. They have to show their base that they're serious about security in America, even though they haven't done anything really since 9/11 and haven't followed the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission. It's more smoke and mirrors on their part.
Yeah, like deploying the National Guard to go down and fix trucks at the border. That's really effective, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's kind of frightening in this sense, because when you look at the overall context of the National Guard and militarizing the border, it's one more step towards the militarization of the border. It's kind of like, you know, last year when I was paying $1.90 for gas, I thought that was pretty damn high.
Yeah.
But now that I'm paying $3 a gallon for gas, I really wish that the days of $1.90 a gallon for gas were back again.
Mm-hmm.
So that taking those incremental steps of sending the National Guard, who's only fixing trucks or only repairing roads,
yeah,
it's a step towards a militarization. It gets the American public accustomed to seeing a military presence on our border when we never had a military presence on our border.
Yeah.
As an American, that appalls me. And it also appalls me the tactics that the people on the far right have taken. For instance, the hate mongering, the immigrant bashing. And when you have people who are the most vulnerable in your society and you treat them so shabbily, that says really something about who you are as an individual. Mm-hmm. And they certainly are not Christian individuals.
Yeah. There is a powerful essay written by Charles Bowden that is in the new issue of Mother Jones magazine, September, October, and it's called Exodus. I recommend it to you. He lives 20 miles from the border in Arizona, has for most of his life, and he concludes that the politicians really are only preening and pandering, and that we have to accept that this is a massive migration due to economic problems in the countries that people are leaving and the attraction of working in America. And I recognize that our system is out of control and our borders are not controlled, but to take it out on the people who are already here and to try to criminalize their presence is frankly offensive and undemocratic, and I think it's highly un-American.
Absolutely, I agree. And I think one of the things that these politicians who are pandering to the hate mongers is a failure to recognize the culpability of the U.S. government in the very economic situation that drives people to our shores.
Absolutely. We've created the magnet, and then we're shocked that it draws people here. Stay with us, Vicenta. We have to take a break. Vicenta Montoya is our guest, and we're going to be joined by Kim Gandy, president of the National Organization for Women, in the next segment. If you'd like to talk with us, you can call me toll-free, 866-440-TOM. That's 866-440-8466. You can drop me a note, Peter, at peterbcollins.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
I'm Peter B. Collins, sitting in for Tom Hartman today, 34 minutes past the hour, as we continue live from Washington, D.C., and these remote broadcasts are a team effort. I want to thank Theo and Woody and all the folks here at the Center for American Progress for hosting this today, and also Andrew and Lauren in New York, keeping it all together at Air America Radio. And I'm Peter B., just sitting here talking into the microphone in Washington. With me in the studio, Vicenta Montoya continues, as we mentioned, an immigration lawyer and activist from Las Vegas. And we're joined now by Kim Gandy, president of the National Organization for Women, a native of New Orleans, and a woman who's been active on many fronts. Kim, good to see you.
Hi, Peter B. Good to be on your show.
Well, thanks thanks for joining us in person. First time I got to see you face-to-face.
No, it's nice to be face-to-face.
I want to talk a little bit about what has happened in New Orleans, your hometown, since Hurricane Katrina a year ago, and how it ties into immigration issues. Vicenta, you have some powerful commentaries from workers who have been badly exploited as they went to New Orleans post-Katrina looking for work and hoping to be a part of the reconstruction effort. And the stories of abuse are mind-boggling. People who worked for weeks being promised a paycheck, people who couldn't even afford to buy their own food, and then they were either fired when they asked to be paid or just kind of left in the lurch. And these are not isolated cases, I take it.
No, they're not. And the most intriguing thing about this is that many of these people are persons who have actually been immigrated here. There is an employer here who petitions for them, so they go through the whole legal process of coming into the country legally on what is called an H-2 visa.
Mm-hmm.
And the H-2 visa allows somebody to come in as a temporary worker, and they have a contract with a company, with an employer, to come in to do X amount of work. Well, they have these, and they have paid enormous fees, thousands of dollars in their own country, in order to have this opportunity to come to the United States to work. And the employers put them up in hotel rooms. But it's you have to remember, this is New Orleans post Katrina, so it's not nice hotel rooms. These are places that are filled with mildew. There's a lot of times there are no mattresses. it's more than one person to a room. It's many, many men to a room.
You're describing indentured servitude.
Absolutely. And what happens is that there is a threat that if you do not work, if you do not complete your job...
If you need a bathroom break?
Exactly. If you get injured on the job, forget it. We will contact immigration. We will arrange to have you deported. So there's this fear factor that's going on, and many workers don't know what their rights are. They're not wearing protection. For instance, when they go in, there's asbestos, there's mold, there's other types of hazards that are present. And they're having to take out the worst of for the reconstruction, because you have to tear down, clean out. And they're doing this without protective gloves, without masks, without any of the protections that you would normally have as a worker. And the employer doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are several lawsuits that have been filed by the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they were recently filed, I believe it was about 2 weeks ago, and they are filing the complaints against the workers. There's also a question about whether or not these workers should have even been allowed to come into the United States, period, because the premise for somebody to be able to come in with an H-2 visa is that you're not able to find American workers.
Right. Yeah, it's usually used in Silicon Valley for scientists who are brought in because the American workforce isn't competitive. Kim Gandy, your comment?
Well, this is a part of a bigger problem around the handling of Hurricane Katrina in the beginning and the handling of the aftermath. I'm very cynical about the way the White House has handled this, and it's because they have benefited from their mishandling the situation, although maybe you can't call it mishandling if they benefited from the way they handled it. They have been able to get Congress to allocate hundreds of billions, over 100 billion, nearly 200 billion by the time they're finished with it. Most of that money is flowing into the pockets of their cronies.
It's going to trickle down.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Of course. It's going to Halliburton, to Bechtel, to CH2 Hill, to Floor, to Kellogg Brown and Root, which is a subsidiary of Halliburton.
Right.
It's not going, did not go to local contractors, like Bow Brothers is one of the biggest contractors in the New Orleans area. Everybody in New Orleans knows Bow Brothers. They got virtually none of the contracts. So all of these contracts went in huge amounts of money. The first half a billion went to Halliburton right after Katrina. Yet when you go there, I went in November, I was there again a couple of weeks ago, all you can see is that the trash has been hauled away.
Yeah.
But what you see is billions and billions and billions. And people, I think people have a hard time, I have a hard time getting my mind around what $1 billion is, $1,000 million.
Yeah.
That's just $1 billion. And this is tens, over $100 billion into the pockets of Halliburton and Bechtel and Fluor, and it's not going to the workers.
And they're allowing Darwinian influences, if you will, to redefine and redesign the city of New Orleans.
Oh, exactly.
Because over half the population has not returned, and many of those are the African Americans who formed the majority there prior to Katrina. And so this is a city that is being ethnically cleansed by these reconstruction policies.
Well, and that's part of the benefit. The first benefit from their handling was that they got to give their friends billions of dollars. The second benefit to the White House and their policies is that they were able to use this tens of billions of dollars cost as an excuse to try to cut federal programs that they wanted to cut anyway.
Yeah.
175 federal programs they wanted to wipe out. Why do they want to wipe out these human needs programs? They didn't want them to begin with, but now the enormous cost of the alleged rebuilding is an excuse for them. And the third benefit to them has been the political remaking of New Orleans and Louisiana. They are liable to get another Republican U.S. senator out of this. They're liable to get a Republican governor out of this, and probably another Republican member of the U.S. House by remaking the city of New Orleans, which was the major population center
and
of the state.
For my money, Mary Landrieu is barely a Democrat most days.
Well, it'll get a lot worse if you take a look at some of the other prospects.
I want to turn to another issue that you're both aware of and passionate about. This is an outbreak of the Abramoff scandal. What we learned is that one of the Abramoff clients was this sweatshop employer in the Marianas Islands in the Pacific. And in case you haven't heard about this, these sweatshops, through a treaty, are permitted to put Made in USA on the labels of the goods that they produce. But the workers there are mostly Asians imported and in a form of indentured servitude, as we described, common in New Orleans now. And it's worse than that, because Tom DeLay and others who were part of the Abramoff lobby group jammed through legislation to preserve and enhance this this haven for exploitive employers. And when you go to the Marianas and see what life is like there for the workers, largely women, largely indentured because they had to pay somebody to get them there for the privilege of working, and often they resort to prostitution because the wages that they earn are so low that they can barely make it. And in addition, the prostitution can lead to pregnancies that then lead to forced abortions because these women will lose their jobs and be deported back to their Asian homelands if they maintain the pregnancy. And this, of course, flies in the face of the culture of life, the family values, and the so-called ethics that Republicans pretend to embrace. It's a shameful episode in the recent administration, yet it doesn't get much traction. I thought that the Abramoff case would bring it more to light. Vicenta, what do you think Americans need to know about these issues, and what should we be doing about them?
Well, I think it's interesting to think of Tom DeLay as a pimp, because that's exactly what this is. When you cause people to go into prostitution and you reap a benefit from that, you are a pimp. You are part of whoring the American public. So that's exactly what I think is going on. And then George Miller has been very good about trying to bring this to the forefront.
He's a Democratic congressman from California.
Exactly, from California. He has a Human Dignity Act that has been introduced. However, what happens, because this is a Republican-controlled Congress, it just can't get out of committee. And I think that means that we as Americans need to demand that the investigation be allowed to take place and demand that the Human Dignity Act be allowed to come to the Senate floor and to the House floor and be voted on.
And this should be an election issue, that the Republicans are bottling up this act and that they are allowing this to happen. Ms. Magazine had an amazing expose on this that really laid it all out, an investigative report. It really makes the case for why this needs to be busted wide open. But I think the bottom line is, as with Katrina, it's lining the pockets of their wealthy friends who turn around and pour that money back into the party and back into candidates.
But we're all complicit too, because we're buying those cheap sweatshirts and underpants that are made with this forced labor, or it's very close to it in
it
the
is
Mariana
forced
Islands.
Labor.
And the mainstream media doesn't tell people about it, and not enough people listen to shows like yours.
We're going to take a break and continue. Vicenta Montoya, thank you for joining us today. A pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me here.
And I know I don't need to tell you this, but go ahead and keep at it.
Thank you.
Kim Gandy, president of the National Organization for Women, will stay with us into the next segment. If you'd like to raise a question or make a comment, call me toll-free, 866-440-TOM, 866-440-8466. I'm Peter B. Collins.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Ten minutes before the hour, it's Peter B. Collins sitting in for Tom Hartman, and I'll be back at you tomorrow during the Tom Hartman Program, live from Washington, D.C. We're supporting Camp Democracy, which is underway, now 3 days old, on the Mall here in the nation's capital. right there on Constitution Avenue under the shadow of the Washington Monument. Just a quick protest march from the White House, and that's a pretty regular feature of Camp Democracy. Kim Gandy continues with us. She's president of the National Organization for Women. And, Kim, I understand that you have an action day planned with Code Pink for Peace.
We do. We're participating today in the Immigrants' Rights Actions. Our Executive Vice President, Olga Vives, is speaking at the rally at 4 o'clock today. But we also have a Women's Peace Day that we're co-sponsoring with Code Pink. And mm-hmm. we'll have actions and events all day on September the 20th.
Okay.
And encourage people to come and join us. We'll have workshops all day on a variety of different peace-related issues, women's rights issues, and connecting people up across a lot of interests.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, I really appreciate that. Let's take a call here. Mike in Canonsburg, Pennsylvania. Thanks for holding on. You're on the air, sir.
Well, hi there.
Hi.
Hi. I was listening to the program, and my question is, if the mainstream media is not covering these issues, and you use the phrase that we as consumers are complicit in this exploitation, my question then is, how can we identify the specifics, that is, the brands
mm-hmm.
and the carriers of these exploitive products?
Okay, go to Ms. Magazine's summer issue, because they devoted a great deal of space
to this. I've seen the internet issue. I don't recall the specifics of the brands being presented.
I don't have them here on the top of my bald head, but I can tell you that in Ms. Magazine that information is available. And I appreciate your interest and your inclination to take action.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mike.
And we definitely need to get that out there. People need to take that link, send that link around to their friends, because there are so many people who rely on the so-called mainstream media for what little news that they get. And we know that the mainstream media relies on these companies for advertising. So they're not going to name names.
David.
Independent publications can do that.
David in Arlington, Virginia. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Peter B. Collins and Kim Gandy.
Arlington, Washington. Thank you. I'm enjoying your show.
Great.
I think down at the Katrina thing, back Take Back America conference, organized labor promised that they were going to go down south and do a lot of organizing, because it's a unique opportunity. If Sweeney and those people would keep their word, there's thousands of people we could turn out to answer the problems down south.
Well, I think that's a good point. One of the issues is that Louisiana is what's called a right-to-work state. And in union circles, we actually call that the right to work for less. And what it means is that there are no closed shops in Louisiana, which makes it very hard to organize and use a strike as a legitimate threat against an employer. So the playing field is hardly level in Louisiana. And it's been compounded by the issues we described, all this money that's coming in through these contractors, often on a no-bid basis, and some of them are subbing it out, and undocumented immigrants are being used to do a lot of the grunt work. Many of them are having basic rights violated.
And, you know, it's just layer upon layer of problems down there. The hospitals aren't open. The schools aren't open. So even people who want to return, if they have families, if they have anybody with any kind of potential or possible medical condition, even something like asthma, they can't get proper medical treatment if there's a problem in New Orleans. So they're mm-hmm. afraid to come back. And there's not housing. The restaurants, I mean, the tourism has come back somewhat. Restaurants say that they need 50,000 employees to operate. They have 17,000. There's 35,000 unfilled restaurant jobs, and it's primarily because there's no place for the workers to live.
Mm-hmm.
There are no houses. There are no apartments. A one-room apartment's going for $1,200 a month, if you can find it.
Electricity optional?
Electricity optional. Well, there were some parts of the city lots of the city doesn't have anything, but parts of the city that were completely unharmed by the hurricane only got local phone service a few weeks ago, and
yeah.
some of them didn't get gas service, had no hot water for 6-9 months. And if you look at something like, there were several public housing projects in New Orleans, large buildings, multi-building housing projects, which were completely undamaged by Katrina, totally undamaged, and people were sent away. They were forced to flee. When they came back and tried to live in their old apartments with their old furniture, their clothes, their possessions, and buildings that were completely undamaged, they have been prohibited from moving in. All of those apartments are sitting empty in a city that's desperate for people to come back. They do not want the low-income people to come back.
David, thanks for your call. Kim Ganey, just a minute remaining here. Are the Democrats going to take back the House or the Senate in November?
I think it looks very good for the House. I think it's very possible that the Democrats will be able to take back the House. It would be wonderful to see Nancy Pelosi as the Speaker of the House. But if they're going to go farther than that, the Democrats are going to have to really stand up for individual people's rights and stop being some Democrats are just as bad as some Republicans in terms of being beholden to lobbyists and contractors and big business. And we have got to make more of a difference between the parties on those issues.
Two or three quickies, campaigns that you feel strongly about, even women who could win this fall?
I love, obviously, Ned Lamont in Connecticut for the Senate, Diane Farrell for the Senate in Connecticut, Mary Jo Kilroy in Ohio for the House, Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota, lots of great women. Go to nowpacs.org.
NOWPACS.org. Kim Ganey, thanks for your work and thanks for joining us today.
Great to be with you.
I'm Peter B. Collins. It's a pleasure to sit in for Tom Hartman today. We'll do it again tomorrow from Camp Democracy in Washington, D.C. Log on to campdemocracy.org for the schedule, full information, and ways that you can join us for this important protest in the nation's capital.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.